It's good to be with you today, and I'd like to begin our time together with a word of prayer. So if you could bow in prayer with me. Lord, we just thank you that we can have your word, and we can look at your word today. Certainly in these days, we need to hear from heaven. We need to hear from you, God, in these times that we live in. And so today, as we are going to be opening up the Word of God, the Bible, we pray that you would speak to us and help us to know you better and help us to be able to navigate in the times that we live in. And we just thank you and pray, Holy Spirit, open the eyes of our heart that we might behold wonderful things out of your book, the Bible. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are living in perilous, uncertain, unprecedented times. And who would have thought just a few months ago that we'd be experiencing and be living through the days that we're living through right now? Because of the spread of coronavirus, our schools, our churches, restaurants, bars, theaters, places where people gather together are now closed. All sporting events have been canceled. And even here in Ohio, our primary election voting has been postponed and altered. The numbers keep rising every day of those who are infected by the virus, and the death toll also is on the rise. According to the World Health Organization, we are in a pandemic, and the numbers in some countries, such as Italy, Iran, China, of people infected and people dying are staggering. We see the effects of the virus are rising exponentially, and the economic impact on our country and even on the world is like a tsunami, a catastrophic. I spoke to one of the members of our church just the other day, and she shared with me that she used to hear of the term something had gone viral, and she didn't quite know what that meant. But now she said, I know what it means to go viral because I've watched this epidemic go viral. The world is in a panic mode, full of anxiety and fear. And we see this in the panic shopping. People are buying toilet paper and paper towels and bottled water and empty shelves we see in our grocery stores. We go in and can't even maybe find a loaf of bread to buy. And now I watched Fox News two nights ago. And they said that there is the buying of weapons, the buying of guns is skyrocketing. And they talked to one of the owners of a gun shop, and he said people are just coming in saying, I need a gun. And they don't even know what kind of gun, but they just want something to protect themselves. People are scared. Someone has rightly stated that the only thing that is rising faster than the spread of coronavirus is the fear of coronavirus. How should a Christian, how should we as followers of Jesus Christ respond to what's going on around us? And that's what I'd like to share with you today. But before we get into God's word, I'd like to encourage all of us to listen to and follow what our governing authorities are telling us to do, what the experts from the CDC are telling us we should do. We have been told not to gather in groups of over 10, and that's why here at Faith Bible Fellowship we have suspended all our services and small group gatherings. And we've been asked to practice good hygiene, hand washing, limited contact with other people to help slow down the spread of this virus. And if we're in groups most vulnerable, like people over 65 and have any kind of health issues, COPD, or our immune system has been in any way, we have a deficiency, we're told to, as much as possible, isolate ourselves. This advice makes our situation today unique in our country. At different times in the past, we've had crises. But in those times of crises, people came together. I remember back to 9/11 when we were attacked and terrorists flew planes into the Twin Towers. People were angry. People were fearful. But people came together. Families came together. For 4 months at least after those attacks, our churches were full. But now we're told, instead of coming together, we should not come together. We should isolate. And so this makes this crisis really unique. We are traveling in uncharted waters. So again, how is a Christian to respond? In times of crisis, we can say Christians are not to respond with fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And in times of crisis, we are to respond in confident hope in the Lord and not to be afraid. And but how can we overcome fear? I want you to take your Bibles, if you will, open to them to Psalm 27. Psalm 27 is a psalm of David, and it was written in a time when he was under attack. He was in danger and distress. We're not certain of the exact background or circumstances that caused that, but some think it this was written when he was fleeing from Saul. You remember King Saul was jealous of David and pursued David to take his life. Some think that this was written during that time. Or it may have been written during the time when David's own son, Absalom, rebelled against his father and actually went after his father to kill him. Again, we're not sure. We do know that this was in a time of danger, a time when he felt like he was under attack. And yet, as he writes this psalm, he writes it in an attitude of confident hope. And he was able to overcome any fear. And in this psalm, what I would like to share with you today is a prescription for overcoming fear. How can we overcome fear when we see what's happening in our world today, when as far as the coronavirus? How can we live with confident hope? First of all, what we need to do is we need to trust in the Lord and focus on Him. I think many times or at least I do, become fearful when my focus or my attention gets on the situation or on the circumstances, and I do not focus on the Lord. I get my eyes off the Lord. I think we become sometimes like Peter when he got his eyes off the Lord and put his eyes on the wind and the waves, he began to sink. And when we get our eyes off the Lord, we too can sink into fear and into despair. But this psalm focuses our attention on the Lord and our need to trust in Him. The psalm begins, if you look, with two words, the Lord, Jehovah God. And the psalm ends with the Lord, Jehovah God. In fact, Lord or the Lord is mentioned 12 times in 14 verses. He's also called Elohim in verse 9, the Creator God. And God is mentioned 14 times pronominally. And if that count is right, then God is mentioned in Psalm 27 27 times. I think the psalmist is trying to tell us something. He's trying, I believe, to tell us to get our eyes fixed on the Lord. He begins in verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense or the strength of my life. Of whom should I be afraid?" The psalmist's trust was in the Lord, the God of the Bible, Jehovah. He states that the Lord is my light, my salvation, and my strength or defense. And I want you to note, he doesn't say the Lord gives me light or gives me salvation or gives me strength. He says the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my strength or my defense. And also there's a little word there that I think is extremely important, and that's the word my. He says the Lord is my light, my salvation, the defense or strength of my life. And this is speaking of personal relationship with Jehovah God. This same David wrote in another psalm that we're familiar with, "The Lord is my shepherd." And other places, "The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my high tower." David had a personal relationship with God. And in times of crisis, when there is distress and crisis around us, religion in and of itself does not cut it. It will not quell the fears that are in our heart. What we need is a personal relationship. Only a personal relationship with God can do that. The Lord is my light. And when we're going through dark times, when we're in dark places, when we're going through unknown, uncharted waters, the Lord himself is a light to light the way. John, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it says, "In him, Jesus, is life, and the life was the light of men. And light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or overpower it." In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." Jesus many times said, "I am the light of the world." When we're going through dark places, when we're going through scary places, we need to trust in the Lord and let his presence light the way and dispel all fear. Just as light dispels darkness, the light of God's presence will dispel all fears in our life. Then he goes on to say, "The Lord is my salvation." I thought about this. The number one fear today is still death. Number two fear is public speaking. But the number one fear is death. People fear the coronavirus because of its potential to be lethal, to kill us. But the psalmist had the Lord as his salvation. He had put his faith and trust in God to save him. He also calls in another psalm, I believe it's Psalm 18, "The Lord is my Savior." Scripture says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." When a person is saved, we need not fear death, because Jesus died for our sins. He rose from the dead. He defeated death. And now death cannot hurt us. David wrote in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And David wrote, he wasn't afraid. He was not afraid even of death. He calls it the shadow of death. And we know that shadows can't hurt us. The shadow of a dog can't bite us. The shadow of a boxer can't hit us. The shadow of a truck can't run us over. And the shadow of death cannot hurt one who is saved through faith in Jesus Christ. For the Christian to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For the Christian to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. A man once came to the famous evangelist D.L. Moody. He was excited. He said, Mr. Moody, I found a wonderful verse in God's word. He said, what is that, my son? He said, it's Psalm 56:3. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in thee. Mr. Moody said, son, that is a wonderful verse of scripture, but I have a better verse. Isaiah 12 and verse 2, which reads, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust in him and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, if we are saved and the Lord is our salvation, we don't have to fear at all. And I would say, if he's not your Savior, if you're listening and watching this video, if he's not your Savior, call on the name of the Lord. Believe on him and call out to him and ask him to save you. He died for your sins. He rose from the dead. And he has promised that if we believe in him, that we'll not perish but have everlasting life. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. He goes on to say the Lord is the strength or the defense, the stronghold of my life. And when I thought about that, the words to the famous hymn, a mighty fortress is our God, came to my mind. And God is a mighty fortress. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word will fell him. We have Christ. If we have Christ, God is our mighty fortress. He's the defense. He's the strength of our life. And the psalmist asks this question. Because of that, whom shall I fear? That's a good question. Interesting fact about the word fear in the book of Psalms. It occurs approximately 77 times in one form or another in the book of Psalms. But what's interesting is the fact that about 80% of the time, those references are to fearing the Lord. If we fear the Lord, we need not fear anything else, including the coronavirus. If we fear the Lord, then we need not fear anyone or anything. In verse 2, then the psalmist remembers how God has worked in the past in delivering him. He says, when evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Just think of how God has delivered you in the past and what he's done in the past. And again, I think of a little verse from Amazing Grace. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. And the psalmist, that's what he's saying. He's remembering how God delivered him in the past. Then in verse 3, he has a great statement of faith. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. He can say this because he's trusting in the Lord and he's focusing on him. So to overcome fear, that's what we need to do. We need to trust in God as our light, our salvation, our defense and strength, and we need to focus on him. It's so easy to get our focus on the nightly news or on all that's going on around us, but we need to focus on the Lord. We need to trust in the Lord and focus on him, but secondly, we need to seek the Lord and follow him. So many times in Scripture, it tells us, it instructs us to seek the Lord. Psalm 105, verse 4 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked man forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And the Lord will have compassion on him. And let him return to the Lord, and he shall find mercy. And Jeremiah 29:13 says, and the Lord is speaking, you shall seek me, and you shall find me when you search for me with all of your heart. The psalmist was committed to seek God during this time of crisis. He says in verse 4, one thing I've asked of the Lord that I should seek. One thing. And that is really single-mindedness. That is a ruling passion in his life. There's so many distractions that capture our attention, try to steal our attention away. I think about Jesus in the New Testament when he spoke to Martha, as recorded in Luke chapter 10. He said, Martha, Martha, you are distracted by so many things, but there's only one thing that's important, and Mary has chosen the good thing, the good part. One thing, and that one thing is really our relationship with the Lord, and one thing, it's interesting how in a crisis, how a pandemic can help us to really understand what's important in life. Many of those things that distract us now have been removed. God's done a work. God's taken things that distract us normally out of the way. All sporting events. No March Madness. Guys, what are we going to do? No March Madness. No filling out brackets. No NBA. No PGA. Restaurants, bars, movies are all closed. Many people have been sent home from work and from their jobs. And what are we going to do? What are we going to do now with the time that we have? Oh, we need to take time to seek the Lord. The psalmist says, one thing I've asked the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may behold the beauty of the Lord and meditate in his temple. Now, in David's day, God dwelt in the tabernacle, in a tent. That was the place that you would go to seek the presence of the living God. Today, God doesn't dwell in buildings. We have this beautiful new sanctuary that we just got finished. But God doesn't dwell in buildings. God dwells in believers, in his followers. We love to come together. We're commanded to come together and meet together for corporate worship. But what happens when you can't come together for corporate worship? When you can't come to church? It's interesting. The psalmist in Psalm 27 may not have had the opportunity to go to the tabernacle of God. If he was on the run, if he was away, running, fleeing from his life, as many think he was, he couldn't come to the tabernacle, to God's house. But he was still determined to seek the Lord. Verse 8 states, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I will seek. He couldn't go to church, per se. But he was determined to seek the Lord. He was determined to seek his face. And that's speaking of a personal, intimate encounter with God. A personal encounter with God. The word seek is the Hebrew word bakash, which means to search out by any method, to seek and search out. When you can't go to church, how do you seek the Lord? Let me just suggest some ways that we can do this. First of all, seek Him in worship. Worship is not just something we do on Sunday morning as we come and gather together corporately. Worship should be something we do 24/7. And we can worship God in our homes. We can sing to the Lord. We can praise the Lord in our homes. And we need to seek Him in worship. Also, we can seek God in His Word. God reveals Himself in His Word. I just want to encourage you, get your Bibles out. Read Scripture. It's a great time. Memorize some Scripture. And as you read Scripture, ask God to reveal Himself to you in His Word. Maybe you haven't been reading your Bible. This is God calling you back to get into the Word of God. Take the time to seek God in His Word. Begin, if you haven't been reading in the Word, I'd suggest you begin in the New Testament, read through the Gospels. What a wonderful revelation of who God is and who Jesus Christ is. Read in the Psalms. Read and ask God, speak to me, God. And when God speaks to your heart, I'm going to suggest you do something else. Maybe a verse will jump out at you, and it just really speaks to you. I want to encourage you to then contact one or two other people in your church and share that with them. And let it be God can speak to you, and then God can speak through you. But get into the Word of God. It was Leonard Ravenhill, famous revivalist preacher, that said there are three classes of people in our world today. Those who are afraid, those who don't know enough to be afraid, and then those who know their Bibles. So I encourage you, seek the Lord in His Word. And then we can seek the Lord in prayer. And verses 7 through 12 is a prayer. He actually asked the Lord for four things, which I think are very interesting. In verses 7 through 9, he says, be gracious and merciful to us. And Lord, we need to be crying out to the Lord, too, for His mercy and His grace in these challenging days. And then in verse 11, he says, teach me your way, O Lord. Teach me something through this experience. Again, this is a new experience for us all, but God is trying to teach us new truths about Himself and about how we're to live out our Christianity. Ask God to teach you His ways. What are you trying to teach me through this crisis? Ask Him, verse 11b, lead me in a level or a plain path. I think we need to be asking God, give me wisdom, give me guidance, make your way perfectly clear to me, so I don't make wrong decisions during this time. Ask God to lead you through this. That's what we're asking here at Faith Bible Fellowship, the leadership. Lord, lead us so we can help lead your people. And then verse 12, he asks for, deliver me from my enemy. Our president, Donald Trump, last week asked us, he declared last Sunday a national day of prayer. And he asked people to pray for the stopping of this virus. And I think that's a good thing to pray. David prayed, deliver me from my enemy. Right now our enemy is this virus. And I think we need to be seeking the Lord and praying and ask God by His grace, in His wrath, to remember mercy and stop this virus. We need to seek Him. And when we seek Him, and when He shows us the way, we need to follow Him. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And so a second thing we need to do, if we're going to overcome fear and live with confidence, we need to trust in the Lord and focus on Him. Secondly, we need to seek the Lord, and we need to follow Him. And the third thing we need to do is We need to, if we're going to overcome fear, we need to wait on the Lord and have faith in him. Verses 13 and 14. But verse 14 says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, waiting on the Lord, friends, is not just sitting back and well, what are you going to do, Lord? Waiting entails actively seeking the Lord. It was C.H. Spurgeon that writes, wait at his door with prayer. Wait at his foot with humility. Wait at his table with service. Wait at his window with expectancy. The word wait means to patiently wait for God to work, to expect, to wait in expectancy on the Lord. It's the same word that's used in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, when it says, yet those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles and run and not be weary and walk and not faint. We need to wait and watch God work, because God is at work during this time. He is doing a new thing. He's doing, and we need to wait. We need to just watch and see what he is doing, because God is at work. And the psalmist says in verse 13, I would have despaired. King James, I would have fainted if I had not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The psalmist is waiting on the Lord. He's placing his faith in him. He said, I need to believe. I need to believe. He's working today. God is working out his plan. He is good, and he is in control. And the same God who was in control 3 months ago, before we ever even heard of the coronavirus, is still on the throne. He's still in control today. He is working his plan for this universe. And I believe he is preparing this world for the second coming of his Son, Jesus Christ. We can look at the circumstances and move toward despair. I would have despaired. We can get our eyes on all that's happening and on the spread of this virus and how people are just panic in a panic mode. And we can move toward despair. Or we can wait on the Lord, and we can have faith in him, and we can move toward hope. He said, I would have despaired if I had not believed I'd see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So if we're going to overcome fear and live with confident hope, there's three things I believe we need to do. We need to trust in the Lord and get our focus on him. We need to seek the Lord, and we need to follow him, follow what he tells us to do. And we need to wait on the Lord and have faith in him. I'd like to share one illustration of this from God's word. I think a good illustration of this is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And let me read several verses here. It's an account of when the people of God under King Jehoshaphat were attacked and what they did. But 2 Chronicles chapter 20 says this. Now it came about after this that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Meunites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea out of Aram, and behold, they are in Hazaron Tamar, that is on Gedi. Jehoshaphat was afraid. He had fear. He was afraid. And he turned his attention to seek the Lord and to proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. and even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. Then if we skip down to verse 7, did you not, O our God, drive out all the inhabitants of this land before your people, Israel? And then over in verse 12, it says, O our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you. And then God sends a word. He says, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You need not fear in this battle. Station yourselves. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. Then they began to worship the Lord. And in verse 20, they rose early in the morning, went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. When he had consulted the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire. As they went out before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. When they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so they were routed. And here I think we see a great illustration of what David is talking about in Psalm 27. Again, first they were afraid, but they determined to trust in God and got their focus on him. They determined to seek the Lord. They came together and sought the Lord, sought the presence of the Lord. And when God revealed himself to them and told them what to do, they followed what he said. And then they waited on the Lord. He said, you stand still. You don't even have to fight. Just wait on the Lord and have faith in him. And they put the choir out in front, and when they began to worship God, God fought the battle. And I think that's what we need to do as God's people. And as we do that, as we trust in him and get our eyes on him, as we seek him and follow him, as we wait on him and have faith in him, God will give us that peace and confident assurance and hope. May God help us to do this at this time. Amen.